This is Modern Mavericks, a podcast and newsletter for those of us who want more than just a job. I'm your host and career coach, Janelle Ibrahami. Whether you're a corporate go-getter, an entrepreneurial spirit, or a powerful blend of both, you're in the right place. I'm sharing actionable advice on how to take your career power back and build something you're proud of. Together, we'll help you create a career that's meaningful and meant for you, because you're a maverick. Let's get started. Welcome back to another lunch break. Some questions for you right off the bat. Did 2020 turn your professional identity upside down and inside out? Was that year and the years that followed a pivotal light bulb moment for you where you realized just how valuable you are in the world of work? And did you think about packaging up your expertise and making a go of it on your own? If you answered yes to any of those previous questions, you won't want to miss this conversation with Dana Farber. After a decade of working in C-suite level roles at marketing agencies for the top lifestyle and wellness brands, Dana Farber saw an opportunity to build her own mindful marketing agency designed for small visionary brands, basically the dream, and what she says her winning edge is marketing with a soul. Today, the Chicago-based founder of Moonstone Marketing is taking us through the powerful and sometimes painful lessons from that year of starting her business and the strategy she uses to set her business and her agency apart in the sea of sameness out there, plus her golden advice for anyone who feels like they just haven't found their thing yet, which is so relatable. Dana and I actually collaborated on a number of projects last year on Pivot with Purpose, my coaching program, and this very podcast and newsletter, Lunch Break. She is so good at what she does, and she's such a beautiful success story of trusting your gut and creating something that you know can be so powerful and impactful in the world. So you're going to get so much out of this conversation with Dana. Let's jump right into our Lunch Break with Dana Farber. Hey, Dana.
Hey, Janelle.
I'm so stoked to have you here. And as I ask all of my guests at the top of our conversations, can you please give us a quick professional power statement? So who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that professional power statement, the PPS. I remember you talking about that when we worked together. Spoiler alert, we'll talk about it more, I'm sure, on this pod, but Janelle and I are very familiar with one another. So my professional power statement, I am a brand marketer. I come from over a decade of franchise and corporate experience and agency experience as well. And I launched my company Moonstone Marketing in October of 2021. And now I call myself a mindful marketer with a soul. I really believe that there's a more thoughtful approach to marketing than a lot of marketers. No shame in marketers. I love marketing and marketers of all shapes and sizes. But I think that there tends to be a very analytical view of marketing, and I try to bring a little more thought and perspective and more fun to the game. So I am a mindful marketer with a soul. That is my professional power statement.
Love that. There are so many mindful millennials who
Exactly. All about those buzzwords.
So all the buzzwords that we are feel hashtag very aligned to, but
exactly. So, I love it.
You had a really successful corporate career for many years in marketing. You mentioned franchising. So your pivot from corporate to entrepreneurship was kind of a one-to-one, but can you talk to us about what sparked that change for you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for a lot of people my age, I'm 33, about to turn 34, just for all our listeners out there. For a lot of people my age, I think the pandemic was a huge turning point. So the TLDR of it is that I had been recruited to my dream, quote unquote, corporate job at a big company that I followed in California. I was moved across the country and had this, you know, really amazing opportunity that was going to, you know, again, quote, change my life. And then less than 6 months later, the pandemic hit, and it kind of forced me to realize that and kind of confront some of the nagging feelings I had been having for months, probably years, that my job wasn't fulfilling me, that it wasn't really aligning with my internal values. And again, nothing personal to my former employers or any jobs I worked. I'm just not a corporate girly, I think I figured out about myself. And it was kind of honestly sucking my soul. And I think having a lot more time to think about that during the pandemic really made me realize what I want to do. And the huge value I was bringing to my employers also. And I think that's something I never really took time to think about prior to that, because I was always, you know, so quote, lucky to have a job, especially during COVID. You know, I didn't get laid off. My salary didn't get cut. I felt tremendously lucky about that. But at the same time, there was almost this expectation that you're just going to put up with whatever treatment that you're going to get because you are employed. And I don't think that that's right. And it definitely was not vibing with where I was at mentally. So that was a huge impetus and catalyst for me in launching my company, Moonstone, was just wanting something that honestly aligned much more strongly with my personal values.
That is so relatable. And I know folks have heard that in my own pivot story episode. But as you can probably relate to, when you realize your value, like you just said, and how much you're really contributing to this company, to your clients, it's often a gradual process of clarity, realizing like, wait, I have a lot to offer. I don't feel like I'm being recognized for that worth. I don't feel like I have the visibility that I crave. And then it starts to percolate in your mind that like, hey, maybe I could do this on my own. Do you remember the moment that you realized like, okay, I've actually got to do this. I need to move on this feeling. And what was it?
Absolutely. And I will give tremendous credit forever to my parents, my lovely parents, for literally forcing me to do this. They were across the country. I'm from Chicago. So they were in Chicago. I was in California. And I mean, my mom got a call every single day at 5 p.m. with me in tears, basically crying that I just did not like what I was doing. I knew I wanted to give notice. I was looking for other corporate jobs, but just nothing really clicked. Nothing felt right. You know, I definitely was not working with Janelle. So I will say that like, I wasn't doing the job search to the best of my ability, I would say. But that being said, the fact that my heart wasn't in it kind of said something. And so I had a really big, you know, come to Jesus, I'm Jewish, come to Judas, I don't know, Moses moment. With my parents. And my mom said, you know, I hate to give you tough love, but I don't think you're going to like any job. And I'm like, where does that leave me? You know, I'm in my early 30s. I'm not going to retire anytime soon. What do you mean by that? And she said, you know, you've been kind of dancing around the topic of starting your own thing for years, which I had been exploring with friends of mine who were also in marketing and PR. I'd always kind of envisioned doing a joint thing. I'd never really envisioned doing it on my own. But she said, you know, again, the pandemic, I think, opened up a lot of opportunities for people. And, you know, you saw that big solopreneur jump that happened in 2020. And that was really inspiring to me to see other people just kind of taking that leap and doing it. And there was that feeling of, you know, why not me? And so my mom, love her. She is, will support me no matter what I do. So I needed my dad, who's the much more logical one. He's an accountant. So I also needed that like confirmation that financially I could do it. And they were 100% in and supportive. I saved the text that I got from them the night we made the decision, just saying how 100% they were behind me and supportive of making sure that, you know, again, even if this didn't work out and I had to go back to corporate job, which no shame in that ever, you know, try it. You know, what do you have to lose? Kind of, you're miserable. You might as well do this. And I think my entire career, including this leap, has been a good combination of one, hard work. You know, I'm a really, really hard worker. I always have been. And I learned that also, you know, from my parents, but also luck and good timing. And so I think it was the perfect timing. And it really, in that moment, I made that decision and I have not looked back. I had my LLC within a week. I gave my notice within 2 weeks and I was done and gone.
And that's like making a decision and running with it. That's incredible. It sounds like for the most part, it was a very empowering decision and you just like felt it in your gut. And once you got that like verbal confirmation and support from your parents, it was a done deal. But were there any moments of doubt or skepticism or like, wait, what the hell am I about to do?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there still is. Like, I hope anyone who's listening to this knows that like you could be, quote, you know, crushing it and hitting your goals. And there's always going to be moments of doubt. Like every day I'm, you know, my own worst critic just because you're in it all day long. But yes, absolutely. I think that for me, that came from imposter syndrome, honestly, of, you know, I was the youngest chief marketing officer in my company. I worked alongside 7 other chief marketing officers that were well more advanced in their career and had wonderful relationships with all of them. And they were a huge boost of confidence for me, just continuing to tell me I was doing things right. But I'm not classically trained in marketing. I didn't go to school for marketing. I kind of fell into marketing just kind of a random way. And I always loved it. But, you know, there was definitely that moment of, you know, am I going to be able to back this up with the credentials that I might not have if you look at my resume in a more, you know, if you, a specific way. I didn't go to school for marketing. You know, I don't have that level of experience that a lot of people who start their own companies for marketing do. But I knew that what I did have, what I made up for not having that, is I'm really good at relationships. And I know what I'm talking about. And I have the good blend of the creative and analytical sides of my brain. So I knew I could do it. But there were so many moments that I was just like, who is going to bite at this? Like, they don't know me, you know, like, what are, who, I'm just selling myself, basically. But again, I was lucky and I stumbled into some great, amazing clients that are still with me over a year later. So, you know, something must have clicked somewhere.
Something, probably more than one somethings. What was your first win?
My first win was actually, it was a total coincidence. I had interviewed for a job. I'd gotten connected through a headhunter to a restaurant group owner because I was in the franchising space. And so I was working with kind of different recruiters. And one of the recruiters was specifically focused on hospitality and franchising and an area that I wasn't really necessarily passionate about getting into or getting back into, staying in, I guess I would say. But I had met this guy, Chris, who owned a big restaurant group, and him and I talked, we vibed, we probably talked for 20 minutes. And I said, you know, basically, I'm not moving to New Jersey for this full-time job. Best of luck. We wished each other well and said goodbye. And then about 2 weeks later, when I decided to start Moonstone, I figured, you know, what is there to lose in reaching out to this guy again and say, hey, you know, I thought we had a good conversation. I am starting this. Are you interested? And they were my first client, Bardega Cocktail. So they were launching a cocktail brand on the side that was going to be e-commerce focused, still is e-commerce focused, bardegacocktails.com. Go visit it. They needed someone kind of who wasn't connected to them to kind of give a different point of view. And I slid right in there and it was a great, great, great fit. And I'm still working with them over a year later. And now I'm running point on my agency, I should say, is running point on all their marketing for all of their three restaurants and bars as well. So that was a huge win that obviously expanded over time. And it was just a really great proof that I was where I was at and getting back into restaurants and bars and nightlife, which I had done in my agency world. That was always something I was super interested in. So it just kind of brought some fun back to my life when I wasn't feeling that from a job for a really long time.
Just because you said, what do I have to lose for reaching out again?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I share that email I sent to Chris to anyone and everyone, like anyone who's like, I want to maybe start my own thing. I will give this to you for the caption of this podcast because I'm like, It's so simple. I literally was just complimentary and kind of a little naive, but I just said, why not? And he kind of said, why not? And it was just this great blend of, you know, good timing, again, good luck, and just like owning it. And that was the first time I think I was like, okay, I can do this. Because before I even fully left my corporate job, I had three clients committed. So I was like, wow. Okay, I guess I can do this. And now it's happening. Like now I have no excuse and I have no way to look back. But making the exact leap from like goodbye salary, goodbye, you know, insurance and stability, that was really, really hard because I come from stability and like logic. And that's always been the place that I've operated from, and not having a full-time job was extremely terrifying to me, but not terrifying enough not to do it.
Yes. Okay. So many things just came up from what you just said. Pausing real quick. So if you're listening to this episode, 1000% head to my Instagram at Janelle Abrahami. There will be a post with me and Dana on the front. And when you swipe, it will be that email template. Like I can already see it right now. Like Janelle from the past is saying this to you in the future listening. We are definitely sharing that email template. It will be on Instagram at Janelle Abrahami and at Moonstone MKTG. Well, obviously everything is going to be tagged in the show notes. My gosh. So you already had clients committed before you, like your last day at your corporate job. And it sounds like you just needed that one or two or three small hits of evidence or proof that this could work to see this incredible future ahead of you.
Yep. That's it really didn't matter what I said to myself of like, yeah, you can do this, you can do that. That's great. But I needed other people. And I hate to say that because I'm all about self-validation, but in that instance, I needed other people to tell me, no, you are right. And also I think the fact that when I told anyone I was starting my own business, no one was like shocked or they were all like, yeah, that makes sense for you. And I think you're going to be really good at that. And so just the support and response kind of just nudged me along to know that I think that it gave me the confidence to know that I was doing something right.
Yeah. I think you just said two really important things. One, that you needed some sort of external, we can use the word validation or just like affirmation that you were on the right track, which is 1000% okay. When you are going through this moment, with this very human moment of realizing the path that I've been on up until now is not working for me anymore, is not serving me, and I need something different, that can be a very like earth-shattering, world-shifting realization, because then you think, oh shit, what next? And it is totally okay, even if you have been the most independent, autonomous human being, to need to talk that out and to need to bounce that idea off of other people. That does not make you any less capable of having agency or being proactive. And so I just want to like take the moment to normalize that to anyone who's listening, to thinking like, oh my gosh, if I need other people's opinions, how am I going to be able to do this on my own? No, we are human and we need that sense of community, understanding, being seen in someone else to give us the confidence to take the next step. And if that's something that you need, get it. And don't feel like that's like a bad sign.
100%. And I have to give a shout out to my friend Hensley, who basically did the same jump I did a year earlier. And she has an amazing company called Reboot Fitness Consulting. And I did a little work for her when I started, but more than anything, she opened her door to me. Basically, she shared all of her resources with me. She gave me a huge confidence boost of, if I could do it, you can do it. And she really kind of held my hand through the process. So I completely reiterate, not only is there no shame in asking for help during that time, but actively seek it. You know, I mean, it is a very lonely journey, solo entrepreneurship. Like, I'll never say it's not, even though it's super fulfilling and it's exactly where I want to be. It's a very lonely gig, especially early on, because you're second guessing everything and you just want validation that you are on the right track. So leverage it, lean into other, you know, female entrepreneurs or other entrepreneurs in your circle that you respect, or just other people in your network that you have respect for. It doesn't even need to be the same job, and lean on them for validation, lean on them for questions and support. And there's no shame in that. And instead, honestly, I think there's a tremendous amount of empowerment in working alongside other people, because honestly, a lot of my clients over the year, have come from referrals, you know? So, I mean, every connection you make, it's benefiting your business, even if it's just giving you an hour of venting to someone who's unrelated to it. So like, if you're someone like me who thinks about, you know, how is this benefiting my business? It tremendously is to have that community and that network outside of yourself.
And the second was, you know, like saying fast forward a year, let's talk about how your career and Moonstone Marketing has evolved in just one short year. Is the company that you started the company that you run now?
That's a great question. Yes and no, I would say. So I would say that the thing that has remained intact and the thing that I am 100% the most proud of over the last year is that I have not forsaken any of my personal values over the last year. And that's a huge accomplishment for me, because I am a giver. I'm a yes person. So I tend to kind of put other people first before myself. And over the last year, because Moonstone is bigger than me, you know, I pretty immediately hired interns to make sure that I felt like it was a group and an agency and not just me. And I'm very lucky because one of those interns is still with me. And now she is my first employee. So my beloved Sophie, she's been with me since the very beginning. But the nice thing about that is it kind of made me accountable to other people. And so I wanted to protect them. And Moonstone, I almost kind of thought of Moonstone as this thing separate from myself. And I had a tremendous feeling of protection over it from the very beginning of, I want to maintain the vision and the goals that I set forth when I created it. It was because, especially during the pandemic, I saw a lot of marketers and marketing in general talking a lot about money. And of course, marketing, the point of doing marketing is to get your business money. So I don't want to say that making money is not the end goal. Of course it is. But again, I think there is just a more thoughtful, mindful approach to the way you talk to clients, the way that you help them, the way that you get close to their business so that you're helping them make good decisions. And so that was a really big, important part of me in starting Moonstone, was that was our point of differentiation. And so I'm really proud that over a year later, that's definitely what we've stuck to. Pretty much everything else I was wrong about, which is great. Like, I think you should be wrong about your business, because if you go in and you're so convinced that something's going to work and it doesn't, you get really personally hurt by that. And there's no room for that. I mean, also, it's not important. Like, who cares? People have shitty ideas all the time. I have shitty ideas constantly. I have good ones too, you know? And so you run with the good ones. And so when I first started, I thought Half Moon, which is kind of my like consulting program, was going to be my number one. I was like, everyone's going to bite at that. I'm only going to have New Moon, which is my brand building program, and Full Moon, which is my full service execution, basically agency style program. I was like, those are just going to be additional tools. Turns out, no, everyone gravitated towards Full Moon because everyone wanted that social media management that I do offer. And a lot of people gravitated towards New Moon. Still to this date, I've had not a one sign up for Half Moon. So I am actually in the process of readjusting what that package looks like. And that will be relaunched in the next couple of weeks, along with my new website, a little plug there. So that's been the biggest change, I think, is just not knowing 100% where people were going to gravitate. But then a year in, I've really gotten to understand what people are gravitating towards. I feel like my sales calls, which are not very salesy at all, are a lot easier now because I have real data and experience to back it up with. And I just feel like I'm excited for this year, the second year of business, because now having an employee, I'm able to kind of take myself out of some of the day-to-day and really kind of think big picture what I want Moonstone to be and what I want to be as an entrepreneur and as a boss. And that's been hugely important to me too over the last years. I want to create a place where people want to work and that they're excited. And I've been really lucky. I've had interns stay with me for months and months, and we're going to continue to grow the team. And so, yeah, it's just been nice to create the culture that I never got, but always wanted.
Ooh, that is so juicy. I had a guest on in season one, TJ Bonaventura, who talked about something very similar when he was working at Salesforce and these big SaaS companies and then quit to create his own podcast production studio. Ironically, he saw the really cool, unique opportunity to create a culture and be the type of boss that he wished that he had had moving up and coming up in his career. What kind of values do you think are important to you in leading and in this next venture of what your career looks like, which is leading from the top?
I'm really glad you asked that. For me, it's honestly about treating people like people first. You know, like I don't think of my team as just workers or people who are just there to check a box or do a certain amount of hours. We always kickstart every team call going through, you know, what's good, what's going on in your life. I did take that from a client of mine. So Sweat Life, love you guys. They always start every single meeting with going through what's good. And that's something I adopted from them because I thought it was just a great way to, before we start talking about any work, we talk about, you know, what's something great about your last weekend? What are you looking forward to this weekend? What's something good, exciting going on in your life? And it's just allowed me to kind of get to know my girls on a deeper level too, you know, and like they feel like they can be themselves with me. And that's something I've always believed in. You know, we built this in a pandemic Zoom world. So, you know, I don't believe in kind of just the bullshit that comes with corporate expectations, honestly. And I knew I didn't want some of those, you know, just the passive aggression that can sometimes happen over Zoom or just like when communication is very buttoned up. I just didn't want that. So I'm not very buttoned up as a boss or as an entrepreneur. And that's just my whole vibe. I swear on client calls, I'm, you know, very chill. And that's what I wanted to create as a culture with my girls too. And so I, you know, and something I learned very early in my career, I was in PR, my first job out of college, and PR is, it's intense. And I loved every minute of it, but it's intense. But the biggest thing I learned is that it's PR, not ER. And that's one of my favorite phrases, because guess what? Like, we put up an Instagram story that's wrong, you take it down. Like no one died from that, you know? So it's like, I truly like to operate as a manager as like, it's okay. Like everything's fixable, like everything's fine. And so I feel like I've given my team a safe space to fail and try things, and they want to bring new ideas to the table and gives them a little more autonomy and ownership. And that just makes me so proud when I know they're working past their hours to give me an idea, when I'm like, you don't have to do that, but they genuinely are enjoying working for Moonstone. So who am I to stop them? You know,
that is so key. I'm so glad that you shared that. And actually that story reminds me of something I went through so similarly. My very first job out of college was at NBC Universal on their like campus recruitment teams, like recruiting all these interns into all the different business functions within NBC Universal, particularly like NBC News and Bravo and blah, blah, blah. And we would get ourselves into such a tizzy over the smallest things that one day my coworker
we worked in 30 Rock, which is this like huge monumental building. She went downstairs to the Mrs. Fields cookie shop that was downstairs in our building, got a cookie cake and wrote on the cookie cake, "It's just TV."
I love it.
Literally, love it's it. Just TV. Like, what are we doing? Yeah, things will be calm fine. Down. You're not performing brain surgery. So anyone listening to this, if you have had a panic attack recently or have driven yourself into madness over small minutia of your job, it's not the end of the world. And if you are a doctor performing brain surgery, first of all, thank you so much for doing
thank
that.
Thank you so much.
Disregard that. This is very important. Please be hyper-focused on that. But if you're not, like, let's all take a collective deep breath.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah, I feel better. I feel better now. Yeah, it's truly like it doesn't, not that it doesn't matter. I'm very particular about my client services and I always want to make sure that our clients are getting the absolute best work, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't create a safe space to fail. And if your team and your employees are like shaking because they're nervous that you're going to send them a DM, like I never want to create that feeling of if I text someone on my team that they are nervous that they're in trouble, you know, like that's just not the culture I want to create. So the best thing is I just didn't create it.
Yeah, that's huge. And I think what you're demonstrating so beautifully is like the agency, no pun intended, because you have marketing agency, but like the agency and the autonomy and ownership that you have in creating a culture that you want to see, in being the type of leader that you want to be. But I also think that that's something anyone can tap into, whether you're an entrepreneur running your own business or if you are in a corporate job. You have the agency to show up as the person and the leader that you value, that you really want to be. So how did you still carry through with that ownership over the way that you show up when you were working in the corporate world?
That was the biggest, I think, like pinch me moment of starting Moonstone, more than anything, like more than seeing my name on an LLC, more than seeing my name on, you know, business cards and having my logo designed, was the moment that I realized that I could create whatever culture I wanted. And I kind of, you know, again, no disrespect to my former bosses or employers, but I kind of went back to my corporate career and thought, you know, what were all the moments in times that I felt undervalued or that I was unnecessarily forced to stress out about something, the sleepless nights, the stomach clench that you would get when you get a certain text message, all of those emotions I kind of bottled up. And I was like, I want to create the exact opposite of this feeling. And so I kind of led from a place of, would I want to work here? Would I want to work for this person? And I created the culture that I would want to work with. And I've been really lucky in that I've been able to attract other people that are looking for that. And, you know, I attract young women for the most part. And that's not to say that men could not work for Moonstone, but obviously there's something as, you know, a female entrepreneur, I'm very focused on helping other women in the industry and help them move up. So I've kind of set that as an expectation at the beginning that like they have to vibe, like everyone has to vibe with each other because we are creating not just a community of, you know, we're not just creating work and doing work. Of course, we're doing that. That's a main focus. But also, I want them to look back fondly on their time at Moonstone and think, you know, that was great. I felt valued. I felt like I got real experience. You know, I give them a real seat at the table. Something I've started doing the last 3 to 6 months is we've started creating more strategic plans for our clients. And with that, I create that from a brainstorm with the team so that they are really able to see like, wow, this idea I had showed up in a client deck a month later, and I'll show them that proof so that, again, they feel like they're being valued and they're contributing, even if they're still in school, even if they're, you know, 22 years old and this is their first job. You know, I want to create that feeling that they're special and they're valued. And I think that that's a huge thing for an employer to show you from the beginning, because again, that was just not an experience I really had in the corporate world. I was told a lot to kind of like stay in my lane and like, great, that's a great idea, but like, I'm going to take credit for it. So the fact that I can show my team that not only are they going to create ideas, but I'm going to make sure that the client knows that they created that idea and like, they're going to get the credit for it. Like, I'm hoping to just be able to create, you know, anyone who comes out of Moonstone, I hope that they come out with deeper confidence in themselves and just like better expectations for what they do want for a future job. Honestly, if they don't work for me forever, that's totally fine. But I want them to enter the workforce thinking, you know, I have been treated really well by an employer and that's now what I'm going to come to expect. Because I think it tends to be a snowball effect when you're kind of treated shitty at your first job. You kind of expect that that's just what work is and that's what life is. And I think that that's wrong and also incorrect.
I'm nodding my head so vigorously at that too. I think this would be a really cool opportunity, Dana, if you were everyone who is listening to this episode's boss. So we've just waved a magic wand, and now anyone who's listening to this episode, hello, Dana's your boss. What golden nuggets as their empowering leader would you want to impart on them about how they can take agency and ownership over their career, whether it's entrepreneurial or corporate?
I think the biggest thing is building confidence in the way that makes sense to you. So for me personally, like confidence is, my confidence when it comes to work is based on validation. And I think that's also because marketing is a kind of like a tunnel of like, there's so many ideas. So it's kind of nice to see your ideas reinforced elsewhere. And then you're like, oh, I'm on the same track. So what I would say to anyone, to all of my employees right now, is to do the research, dig in, you know, find alternate mediums that you're interested in, whether it's podcasts, whether it's books, whether it's blogs that you subscribe to, and dig into what you're interested in. And don't be afraid to come to the table with new ideas. Don't be afraid to see something over the weekend and say, hey, this really triggered this idea for me. You know, I think the biggest thing is feeling confident, just giving an idea. And I know that that's so much easier said than done, because again, not a lot of employers are, you know, hopefully a lot of employers, but not every employer wants to hear that idea. But I mean, I would say whether you're an intern, whether you are brand new in the job, whether you've been there 6 years, bring new ideas to the table, because even if they aren't used, even if they aren't, you know, don't go anywhere, that is a huge win that you came up with that. Document everything. I mean, everything. Document it all, put it in emails, get responses, write it all down, because you are the X factor. And don't forget that. Like, you are what you are bringing to the job. You, your energy, your vibe, your mind, your ideas are what you're bringing to the job. And no one can take that away from you. They could say that's a dumb idea. Great, you came up with that idea. So screw you. What did you do today? You know? So I just think, like, build your own confidence, tell yourself often that you're doing a great job, and just, you know, dig in, research things, like know what you're talking about, because no one can take anything away from you if you know what you're talking about.
I love that. Yeah. Having the confidence in saying, like, I have some experience. I know this thing. Maybe you studied it. Maybe you saw it in action. I know what I'm talking about. And yeah, standing firm in that. I also love that you've given yourself permission to pivot in a lot of different ways, whether it was pivoting from a corporate ladder of a career that you were chasing to starting your own business, to pivoting some of your client ideas, and even pivoting some of the business models and the offerings that you've had. What do you think about just this evolution of one's career and connection to work?
I think that the most dangerous thing you could do is think that you have to go in one direction. And I think that that is something that, again, and you know, if you follow Janelle, and her and I are very aligned with this, we were kind of brought up in this like promising young woman idea where there was only one way to go. You know, like the reason I love Gen Z and the younger generation is I don't think they were raised as structured as maybe millennial kids were, but us mindful millennials, we know that, you know, you went to college, you had the job, you graduated college with the job, and that was where you were supposed to stay. And you have your parents in your ear saying, you know, I've been in my job 40 years. Great. That's great for you. I think it's very dangerous to tell yourself that a decision is going to be a wrong decision, because how are you going to know before you make that decision? You know, like, you need to allow yourself space to make decisions and fail. And I know that when I'm saying that, this comes from a place of privilege that financially I was able to make those pivots. So I wanted to say, I do recognize that, but that being said, like, having confidence in yourself to make leaps, to maybe make wrong decisions. Like, there are no wrong decisions. This is your life. Like, you're doing it. It's not a wrong decision if it feels right to you at the time. So just trust yourself and know that, like, your career is going to bounce all over the place until you are where you want to be. Maybe you're never where you want to be. Maybe you're working until you retire, and then you're going to live the life you really want. I think people place such an overemphasis on your job being the thing that defines you. And really, it's just one of many things that defines you. So I think that it's really dangerous to get in the habit of thinking this is a bad decision. If it's a decision, it's a good decision.
I think that's the most beautiful point to wrap up on. I think you just put it so perfectly. Dana Farber, how can listeners keep up with you? How can we stay connected to you?
Thank you. This was so fun, by the way. So you can find me at Moonstone Marketing. It's MKTG. So my website is moonstonemktg.com. New website is coming soon. And you can also find me on Instagram, MoonstoneMKTG as well, where I share lots of fun tips and tricks, and everything has a little woo-woo witchy vibe to it because Stevie Nicks is my spirit animal and she is the driving force of my business more than any marketer I've ever read the book of. So basically, it's Simon Sinek and Stevie Nicks are my two biggest inspirations of my career. So you'll see a nice little blend of marketing tips and also, you know, how to smudge your apartment and how to smudge your business the way, you know, that you smudge your space. So I try to lean into having some fun on social media. So definitely go ahead and follow me there. And if you're interested in getting in touch with me at all, you know, just send a DM. I'm always happy to talk to people in their career who are maybe trying to figure things out or just kind of are digging the way that we do things. Total open door policy. And I would love to talk to any of you.
That's so beautiful. Thank you. BRB, I'm about to smudge my whole house.